who doesn't have biblical hope. They don't have the assurance of God because they don't have a relationship with God. And as you meet them, it's very sad. And Romans 8, verses 24 and 25, Paul probably gives one of the best definitions of hope, where Paul tells the believers, "For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Because, again, he goes on to talk about, first of all, in that first passage, about our suffering. He says, yeah, we have this suffering, but guess what? We have this hope. And then later in chapter 8, he says, we have this hope, and we can be sure, because guess what? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is on our side, how sure is that hope? Paul says, you can be sure of your hope. You know, all of us, if we haven't gone through some dark times, if we haven't gone through some bad times, we will definitely go through some bad times. There are going to be some times when we're going to have some doubt. There are going to be some times when we have some fears that flame up. There are going to be some times when, you know, we are just kind of living day to day. We kind of get stuck in a rut. But Paul says you have this hope that's based on the fact that God has promised it. And if God is on your side, you are a majority. If God is on your side, what more could you ask for? Later on in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, he talks about the resurrection. And he says, your hope is based also on the resurrection of God, on the resurrection of Jesus. Peter spoke to those who were experiencing terrible persecutions in Peter. And he wrote, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, from the dead to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last days. We have this hope. We have this hope, and God has promised us, and he's promised it through the resurrection of Jesus. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 4, in fact, Christ, who has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, he says, because that happened, guess what? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is going to raise you also. There's a hope that is much deeper than, I hope my team wins the Super Bowl. So what does that mean to us? What does that mean to us? If it's based on God's promises, if God can't not lie, if God raised Jesus from the dead and he's going to raise us too, what does that mean? It means it changes the way we view ourselves. I love what Mike had to say. You know, you put your faith in the almighty dollar. Where's your hope at? Is it in the almighty dollar? Is our hope in what our job is? Is our hope in what our marriage is? Our hope in, like, so many different things. A hope in, you know, who the Super Bowl champions is? Is our hope in who the president is? Is our hope in who the president might be? Is our hope in what our government's going to do? What's our hope in? Biblical hope changes how we see ourselves. It changes how we view ourselves. It changes what we put our hope in. And it's not in things, and it's not in people. You know what? There's some great people that I know in my life. And a couple weeks ago at a small group, my wife said it so well. She said, when you put your faith in people, people will always let you down. People are always going to let you down because people are human beings. We're not God, no matter what people tell us. We're not God. God is God, and people are always going to let us down. And so how do we see ourselves, and what do we put our hope in? I think that's an important question to ask ourselves, because a lot of us are going through life putting our hope in our job, in our salary, in the marriage that we have, and how people see us, making sure that, you know, we look the part. You know, a lot of us are like the person who has a garage sale. You know, when you have a garage sale, what do? You put the good stuff out front near the curb, right, Pat? Put the good stuff near the curb, and the closer you get to the garage, the closer you get inside the garage, there may be that cassette player that they tell you works, but you get it home and it don't because you had some old cassette you wanted to listen to. Or they have the couch just positioned so you can't see the rip in the back of that couch. Couch looks great, but you can't see the rip in the back until you get it home and you go, oh, it's ripped in the back. Maybe you inspect things a little better than that. But isn't that the way we live our lives? We kind of want to keep people on the curb. We want to look the part. I mean, we're growing up, you know, you always want to wear your Sunday best. You had to wear your Sunday best because you had to look the part, even though your life may be a mess. But we have hope. We have hope in God. We don't have to play a game. We don't have to put up a facade. We don't have to put the best stuff toward the curb of our life. We can be who we are because we have hope in God. How do you view yourself? Do you see yourself as a person who was created in the image of God? If we do, then our hope is a lot different than the hope of the world. It changes what we value. What do we value? We value the balance in our checkbook? Do we value people or do we value things? Do we value people? Do we value stuff? All kinds of people are valuing stuff. Let us value people. That's what we're called to do as Christians. What is our hope in? Is our hope in our stuff? Is our hope in our God? It changes the way that we do things. It changes what we do. It changes our priorities. If we have hope in God and we know that God is going to do what God said he's going to do, then it changes our priorities. Now, I've been struggling with this a little bit in my own life because I don't know if you know this, but my birthday was on Friday. I turned 49. That's a lie. That's what I'm telling everybody. I don't feel a day over 35, but I had my birthday, and I'm thinking about now, kind of, I'm thinking more about the future, you know, thinking about what's going to happen when. And here's what I finally asked myself. Either I believe God, and he's going to take care of me, or I don't believe God. Either I have faith that God, it doesn't mean I don't have to do anything. It doesn't mean I can just sit back and say, okay, God, take care of me. I'm sitting here, I'm waiting. No, I need to do what I need to do, but I got to ask myself, do I believe that God is going to take care of me and my wife and my family? Either I believe it or I don't. But the Hebrew writer says, you know what, you have a hope. You have a hope that's based on God's promises and God's character. God can't lie. And so he's going to do what he said he was going to do. The question is, do we believe it? Because a lot of times we go around life and we don't always live our lives like we believe that we have this hope that's based on God. If we believe in the hope that is, then it's going to give us joy. It's going to give us endurance. It's going to give us confidence because God is who he said he was. Our hope is based on God's, the person of God, the creator of the universe. You know, we live in a world that has all kinds of technology, and I just heard that in Dubai, by July, they're expecting to have, what do you call those things that fly in the air? Drones. People delivering drones. So what does that mean to you and me? If you're older like me, think Jetsons. If you're younger like some of you, think Star Wars, okay? This means a drone. You're going to call up, or you're gonna, probably not going to call anything. You're probably going to touch your head. And there's going to be a drone that comes, is going to pick you up. You're going to sit in some kind of a seat. They say they have the technology already there. It's from Japan. And it's going to take you wherever you need to go. So you're going to be flying above the traffic in this drone. And sometimes we think, wow, that's crazy. Maybe you're thinking, hey, there's no way I'm getting on that drone. You know, I have a friend, he says, there's no way I'm ever going to get in a driverless car. Well, I got news for him. There may be, he may not have a choice if he wants to go somewhere, unless he wants to walk. Down in the future. So we have all this technology, and we think, oh my, there's nothing that we can't figure out. There's nothing that we can't do. Guess what? None of that matters. Because no matter where technology goes, no matter what happens next, the bottom line is, As Christians, we have a hope that far surpasses, that is bigger than any technology, that is bigger than anything that we can try to figure out for ourselves. Because guess what? There may be a drone that's going to carry people from place to place in Dubai that's probably coming to a city near you in the future. But one day, my God is going to send his son, and I'm going to go in the sky, and I'm going to meet up with him. And that's bigger than any drone moving people. That's bigger than anything. And you know what? It's because I have this hope that I'm working on. Because it's hard sometimes to have hope. We get bogged down in our lives. We hope in a lot of things. You know, I hoped that the Dallas Cowboys were going to get to the Super Bowl because of Ezekiel Elliott. Didn't happen. Doesn't matter. Ask me in a couple years, I won't even remember who won this Super Bowl this year. Doesn't matter. What does matter is I have a faith in God, a God who says, listen, I don't lie. I am the God, the creator of the universe, and your hope as a Christian is based on my word. It may not come tomorrow. It may not happen next week. It may not happen in 25 years, but that hope is secure. It is going to happen. So when we come to the tough times in life, I can't help but that has to motivate us. It has to motivate us. I know it motivated my friend who just passed away because he realized, you know what? I have this hope. He even changed the way he talked to people, you know? He was telling everybody in the hospital right before he went into hospice about, you know, you need to find a church. You need to find a church to go to. He was telling people about Jesus. And he was even telling, he was kind of an abrupt person, kind of like in-your-face kind of guy. So he'd also tell them, hey, you probably should stop doing what you're doing. And you need to find Jesus. Because he understood the hope. Because the only thing we have to base our life on as Christians, what's the difference between us and everybody else? Two things. Our hope and the love that we show for each other. And the love that we show for the world that we live in. We got to have hope. And we got to understand our hope is based on the character and the person of God. Let's pray. Lord God, you've been so good to us and you've blessed us in so many ways. And I don't know that I've communicated what hope is very good this morning. But I pray, Lord, that we can embrace the hope that you offer us. That we can embrace the hope that is based on who you are. And as Scripture says, you are going to deliver on your promises. And no matter what happens in this life, no matter what we have to suffer, no matter what we have to endure, no matter what we have to go through, your hope is real. Your hope is there. And we can count on that hope. Help us, Lord, to be people of hope. And through that, help us to be people of confidence. Because of that, help us to be servants of yours. Thank you so much for that hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.